So the follow-up to many of the things we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks in terms of what type of writing is permissible in Chol HaMoed, trying to really conclude the sugya right now, it's not going to be really anything in the Ma'amar Kabbalah. There aren't any real Ma'amar Kabbalah, there's just two Nakudas at the bottom. No, that's not fine. No. It doesn't matter, there's nothing b'chsam. No pun intended, there's nothing b'chsam. So we're going to talk a little bit about the issue of taking pictures on Chol HaMoed. So we have to analyze the issue of taking pictures really on two different fronts. We have to talk about, first of all, what malacha, if any, is involved in the taking of the picture in the first place. And in Tintaloma, that there is some kind of a malacha involved in taking the picture, presumably related to Kosei, that's what we're talking about here. If there is, in fact, such a malacha involved, the question becomes, are there any grounds to permit on Chol HaMoed? So, of course, as we know, but there are many malachas that are permissible on Chol HaMoed. So what exactly is the status of taking pictures? So we have to analyze the issue of taking pictures also historically on several different fronts. Taking pictures today is fundamentally different than taking pictures of years gone by. So let's begin with the old style pictures. And let's remember all the way back, but there used to be a time when you actually bought film in the store and you put it into a camera and you pressed the button and you sent it back to the store and you got it developed. So let's talk a little bit about the old style pictures first, and we'll move on to some of the more modern ways of taking pictures today. So the Poskim analyzed the issue of taking pictures in the old days really on two very, very different issues. So the first is there a nisa malacha? What malacha possibly is involved in just the mere snapping of pressing a button and quote-unquote taking a picture? So the only possible malacha, at least the most possible malacha that we can deal with, is a malacha of kosev. What does it have to do with kosev? You're not writing any letters. So the Rambam is quick to tell us in the Shabbos that one can be chayav on Shabbos for drawing a picture. So since a person can be chayav on Shabbos for drawing a picture, so one can argue that the pressing of a button, which is causing a picture to be taken, so that's also considered to be part of the malacha of kosev, which would be potentially problematic on Chol HaMoed. So that necessarily translates to me it's going to be asur. We'll have to discuss the tzachei yom and the oven. No, that's a possible tayer, but just in terms of the basic malacha, it appears that taking a picture would be involved in the malacha of kosev. However, it's not so simple that the actual pressing of the button would be a malacha of kosev for the following reason. There's nothing there at the time you take the picture. I press the button, so if I would open up the camera and look at the film right now, the film doesn't look cues that different. It doesn't look like the slide has been different than it looked beforehand. There is a picture there. There's something which is underneath it, something which is absorbed into the film, whatever you want to call it. But there's nothing that's physically, at least to the naked eye, there's nothing that is different. So the question is that considered to be an act of kosev altogether? So this is not so much a Chol HaMoed shaila, this is a shaila in Kol HaTorah Kula. How do you define kosev? Does kosev mean that it's something that's legible? It's something that you can see the ink on the paper right now? What would the halacha be if you have some kind of a writing that's inside the cloth, or inside the background, inside the paper? And right now it's not visible, but if you would do something, if you would treat it with something, it would become visible. So right now, by Shem Sham in the state of not being visible, is that considered to be an act of kosev or not? So believe it or not, there's a sugi about this, the Farish is sugi about this, in Masechet Gittin. If it's jump ahead for Gittin, I don't think we're going to get to this year, it's in the second part of Gittin. The Gemara, on Daf Yates, speaks about this very shaila. The Gemara talks about what's the halacha of a person, quote-unquote writes again, he takes a piece of paper and he does something, said a piece of paper that apparently he wrote the letters of the get, but the get was written in such a way that it was kind of an invisible ink. The only way to ever tell that this get exists is to apply what's called, the Gemara speaks about putting it into menura or something, either some chemical, some liquid, whatever it is, which will make the letter show up. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, is that considered to be a get or not? So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that it's a suffix get. If you have a get that's written in such a way that you can't see the letters, so it's a suffix, whether the get is kosher or not. What exactly is the suffix? So there's a machlokes and Rishonim of what exactly the suffix is. So Rashi says the suffix is that even though when we look at it, we don't really see anything, but if we looked at it really, really carefully, we may notice that there really is actually something that's there. So the suffix, according to Rashi, is that perhaps we didn't look carefully enough. Perhaps there really was something there and we missed it. But Rashi's implication is, will you see that there's absolutely nothing there to the visible eye? There is nothing there that you can tell on the outside. It is, everything is movable, everything is absorbed inside the background. So the implication from Rashi is that's not considered to be kosher. That's not even a suffix, but that's a get. The Torah says the chosav l'sefer krisus. You require a ksivus a get. That's not called a ksivus b'chval according to Rashi because it's absorbed inside, and whatever's not visible is not considered to be kosher according to Rashi. So come one of the Rishonim, those two that went to Shul, appreciate Rebbeinu Kreskes, one of the Rishonim, did Masechet Gittin. Rebbeinu Kreskes was for many, many years was mistakenly thought it was the Chiddush HaRitva of Masechet Gittin, and they realized afterwards it was a different Rishon. He was a contemporary of the Ritva, so that same school of thought as the Ritva was a different person. So Rebbeinu Kreskes says that's not the suffix of the Gemara. The suffix is not whether maybe the ksav is visible, maybe the ksav is not visible. The suffix of the Gemara is a halachic suffix, namely, is ksav that's invisible called the ksav enough. It means, what is the halach about a ksav amuvla? Ksav that's totally absorbed into the paper that we know we can't see. We're looking at it, we're staring at it in the best of lights, we can't see a thing. But the mice, it's absorbed inside. So is that called the halachic ksav, or is that not called the ksav? That's the suffix of the Gemara. So yes, so the Gemara is talking about a case where you give a get, and it appears to us, we don't see anything on the paper, but there's something that's inside. There's something that if you would apply chemicals to it, and after you do apply chemicals to it, it'll taka show up. So the Gemara concludes it's a suffix where the get is good. So Rashi says the suffix is, everybody agrees that a ksav that's not visible is not a ksav. The shaila is, the suffix is this visible or not? Maybe it is visible, we look carefully enough. And the Kreska says, no, the suffix is the ksav that's movable, is the ksav that's not visible, is that halakhically considered to be a ksav? So according to Rashi, it's a suffix in mitzvahs. According to the Kreska, it's a suffix in halacha. How does this play out now in terms of the writing of the Chol HaMoed, in terms of the pictures of Chol HaMoed?
And the assumption is that the same halachot will apply for Kittin and for Shabbos.
Right, that's the assumption.
That it, by itself.
Right, okay, so we're... It's been ready to get to the second paragraph, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. So, Lechora, how does this play out?
When we get to the second
paragraph. Yeah, okay, there you go. We're only on the ballot, there are only 16 vod in there. So, how does this play out in terms of Chol HaMoed? A person presses the button, and now they cause this imprint on the film. The good old days of taking pictures. They cause something on the film. If you look at this film from today till tomorrow, you will see nothing. Absolutely no for a fact. You will see absolutely no change, cues there, no physical change in the film. However, if you apply a couple of chemicals, you go into your dark room, you throw into a couple of solutions or something, hocus pocus, all of a sudden the picture is going to show up. So this is the classic example of ksav amuvla. This is a ksav that's not visible at all. So according to Rashi, if we really know for a fact that's not visible, that's not kosher. It's nothing according to Rashi. It's zero according to Rashi. It's just that in the case of the Gemara Gittin, we weren't so sure we didn't look at it so carefully, but today we would know for sure. If we look at this film before it's developed, there's absolutely nothing there. Therefore, according to Rashi, this would not be an act of kosher. So we don't have to discuss whether it's mutter or chavoy. It's not a lock. It's nothing to talk about according to Rashi.
What would Rashi say about the Polaroid?
We'll get there.
Rashi includes the malacha to get there in the camera, or those are separate malachos that are...
I mean, other things like the electricity, batteries, other things that are involved. Right. Okay, all right, well, let's put those on hold for a minute. Let's just focus on the concept for a second. But according to Rebbeinu Kreskes, not so simple, according to Rebbeinu Kreskes, the creation of an image, the creation of letters that are not visible right now, we're not sure that that's not called ksiva. In Ochus Gittin, where Chalishesh maybe is called ksiva, so now you would have a suffix in Ochus Chol HaMoed. According to Rashi, the freebie, it's the government, it's not called kosev. But according to Rebbeinu Kreskes, we're not sure it's not called kosev. We don't know. So we have to be machmer in both. We're machmer in Gittin not to accept such a get. Maybe it's not called ksav. But we would have to be machmer in Ochus Chol HaMoed, or maybe it would be suffix Chol HaMoed, lechumer lekula, depending on some of the things we spoke about in the past. It would at least be a spake in the deed of Ochus Chol HaMoed. We wouldn't be able to be machmer it so fast. So that's lechora what the sugi should look like. Like in terms of the taking of the picture itself. Now we move on to the next stage. Let's say the picture was taken already, it was taken before Chol HaMoed. Now I want to develop the picture of Chol HaMoed. So now lechora, the sheet has become flipped. What would the halacha be in terms of developing the picture of Chol HaMoed? So according to Rashi, to develop the picture of Chol HaMoed would be a serious problem, because that would be the act of kosev. Since according to Rashi, the ksav which is muvla, ksav which is absorbed inside and not visible, and you know for a fact it's not visible, so that's not called kosev. Ksav, so then the transforming that non-ksav to being ksav and throwing it into the solution, a act of kaisim. So according to Rashi, that would be the malacha. Whereas according to Rebbeinu Kreskes, that would be a suffix. The same way, the first case was a suffix, because according to Rebbeinu Kreskes, when you have this this ksav that's not visible at all, it's absorbed into the paper, maybe it is kaisei, maybe it's not kaisei. So al atzad that it is kaisei, it's also to take the picture. Al atzad that it's not kaisei, then it's also to develop the picture. The only thing that would for sure be also would be to do both. If you take the picture and develop the picture, so then according to Rebbe Kreskes, then for sure you're going to be, you are violating this or kaisei somewhere along the way.
That's so, the big ksav is definitely not stuff.
It's that complicated, so you also, that's your test. I guess I don't know, we have to revamp the schedule again.
That's maybe partially, you rewriting.
Yeah, but it's not really Ksav Gavik Ksav, because the Gemara says that Dioga Bisikra is a problem. Because, let's say, Sikra is red ink, is a low quality ink. If you rewrite with black ink over red ink, that would be Chayav and Shabbos. So we have Sofik, or Mbadim, or Chayav and Shonen. So here also, since the taking of the picture is meaningless, I can't do anything with it. Now I develop the picture, that's a Gavaldic, a new act. So that was a tikkun, that's considered to be definitely less than the Yoga Sigma, which would be a problem on Shabbos. So Kalman Post can say that maybe if we could possibly permit the taking of a picture based on the Shittas Rashi or something or Rebbeinu Kreskes, but to permit to develop the picture would be much more chomer, because to develop the picture Rashi holds it outright would be a problem. So it's based on this that the Poskim began to discuss years ago about the Polaroids. The person, amazing Nuchat, he could take a picture and develop it all at the same time. So L'chor, that would be a problem, because even if you want to be mocked to take the picture, you want to rely on Rashi, but if you're taking the picture and developing the picture, then L'chor, that would be a problem. L'chol HaDeis, the Rashi, the developing would be a problem, because the Rebbeinu, one of the two parts of the procedure would be a problem.
Not the original Chor, you had to remove the, or it doesn't develop, until you remove the cover,
Meaning if you would just take the picture and leave it there.
Right.
Okay. Right. That would be the same. Right. That would be the same as taking a regular picture. Right. Right. So comes.
And that would work the same digital film.
Okay. We're gonna get to the digital. This is a whole different story. So come the poskim and throw a monkey wrench into this discussion. Maybe we've been talking about the wrong malacha. I mean, at least one of the malachas we've been talking about is kosei. But maybe there's a different malacha that has to be put into this cheshbon. The malacha of boneh, building. So it's not boneh. So we spoke about this on the Hilchos Shabbos year already. It's been over a year ago. We spoke about malachas boneh. So malachas boneh, although it's primarily involves building in terms of structures, in terms of building a house, that's considered to be the classic boneh. There is an issue of boneh bekalim in the following sense. If I take something from scratch, I'm not going to take junk, and I transform it into a kli, a siyas kli mitchila, according to most of the Rishonim, is considered to be a violation of boneh. Not everybody agrees to that, but that's how many, many Rishonim assume, that if I go ahead and flourish from scratch, and I make a kli, that's considered to be an act of boneh. If you remember, that's what we said, that was the famous Chazanish, about boneh by cans. The Chazanish's opinion was that a can is basically a piece of junk. You can't do anything with it. It's closed up, you can't do anything with it. So when you open up a can, you're transforming a piece of scrap metal into a functioning kli, that's considered to be a malach of boneh. Remember we said that was a big machlekes of Moshe and the Chazanish at the time. The Chazanish held that the opening of cans is a potential malach of boneh. And Moshe said, forget it. Moshe said, when it's closed, it's a gevaldik kli. It could store a can. It could store food for the next 10 years. Once you open it up, then you're doing it now. You can't keep the food in there for too long. So that's forget. Rather than violating boneh, you violated sosa. So that was an interesting machlekes here. Moshe and the Chazanish with Afkamina Zadina, whether the opening of can is a potential boneh shalom or a potential sosa shalom. So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Rabach with the following chiddush. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and suggests that when a person makes, relevant for us here, a person makes a tape on Shabbos. A person presses a button, he starts to talk into a tape, or starts to talk into, makes a CD, makes a tape, whatever it is. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said he thinks that that may be a violation of boneh on Shabbos. Boneh? He says, yeah. According to this Chazanish, according to that Rod and Shabbos, that you take a piece of junk and you turn it into something which is functioning. So in the Chavon, go in the joke. You take a tape, it's nothing. Put it in a blank tape, put it in a blank CD, it's nothing, it's worthless. You go ahead and you talk about it, you go ahead and you make music out of it, you've transformed it into something that's functioning. You can now put it in the CD library upstairs. So you took a piece of junk and you turned it into something that's worth something. Maybe that's a violation of boneh and Shabbos.
The Chazanish based on the Rod, what happens if each individual part has a value? And is it still going there?
They're still going there.
So we're not focusing on the intrinsic value of the product.
I think that you're making a new kli from scratch, right? I think that's considered because the makor for this idea is the Gemara Shabbos, which speaks about making a shovel on Shabbos. A person takes a blade and takes a piece of wood and he screws them together, so the Gemara seems to say, Yechayv Mishum Bona. So the Rishonim ask, I ain't binyan the Kalim, there's no violation of Bona on Kalim. So the Ran says in that Gemara, no, ain't binyan the Kalim. I mean, something which is already a kli, and now you just touch it up or something, that's not called Bona. That's maybe Machapatish, maybe no. But if you take the different pieces and you form a kli, even though in theory you can do something with a blade, even if it's not a shovel, I don't know, you can do something with it. So, but the forming of a shovel, the making of a shovel from its components, that's considered to be a malacha bona.
So I would have looked at a CD or a tape as makom patish, not as bona, because basically there's no shinui in the kli itself. Try to call it a kli, otherwise we don't have a name for it. So it's not the blade and the wood coming together. It's one clee that's broken, that's not ready yet. It's one clee that's ready. It has a function. It's a blank CD, it's a blank thing, it has a function. You're adding an element on it that now has a value, it has a marketable value, meaning that no one's going to buy this without some music on it or some type of shear. But no one's going to listen to it because it's just sound. Right.
So I'm not sure that's makom patish. I'm not sure. I don't know. Makom patish and bona are tough malachas to distinguish
between. I don't see.
Okay. Right. Okay. So yeah, let's go for our purposes. We're not even really discussing the CDs. We're going more in terms of the film. So let's go to the root of Rav Shlomo Zalman for a second. So comes this Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa, and he raises the following question. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's applying this concept of a Asiyas Kli Mechadash to the making of a CD, to the making of a tape, maybe we should say the same thing regarding the making of a picture. Because I have a film. I have a blank film in front of me, and it's worthless. And we're going to do it right now. So the only thing that's giving it chashiva, making it the you want to call it bone, you want to call it makom patish, whatever you want to call it, the chorab transforming the empty film to a film that has a picture on it, even if you're going to tell me like Rashi, that's not called kaseh, of course ksav has to be something that's visible, but the same if Shlomo Zalman called the tape, the music is also invisible on the tape, and still if Shlomo Zalman called that a violation of bona, so maybe the taking of a picture should be a violation of bona. That was the Shabbos of Ha'ara, according to Shlomo Zalman. So he says that no, he's Yesh Lechalek, a tremendous chilek between the two. In the case of the tape, in the case of the CD, once I finish making my CD, it's ready to go. It's finished. Once I make the tape, it's ready to roll. I can stick it into a recorder, I can listen to it. But Shanky, the picture, just because I took the picture, it's still not usable. I still have to do something to it. I have to go ahead and send it to be developed. Then I'll sit in its, silver nitrate, whatever they put it into for an hour. Then and only then is it going to become usable. So I didn't make the clear yet. So I took a piece of film that's worthless, and I made it vital into a piece of film that's worthless. It's worth a little bit more because I can send it off to develop for a couple of dollars. But I was not the one who took a piece of junk and turned it into a functioning clay. In the case of the tape, in the case of the CD, I took a piece of junk and I finished the job. I made it into a functioning clay that can be stuck into a recorder right now. So according to this understanding of the Shmir Shabbos, we're back to the Kaisev Malacha. It means the bone slash Makma Patish is not as critical in terms of the taking of pictures. The only Malacha that we're really left with is the Malacha bone. Just the fact. I'm sorry, cousin. If you remember, I don't know if you remember, maybe a couple of years ago, you asked me a shout about making CDs on Chol Moed.
You made my wife so exactly happy because we can't produce
That's right, you see.
Down.
That's the whole reason. I'll do Malach Chol Moed. That's what Handsome Kuz Yosef. That's what many of the Sharon say. So there's a big shayla. So the making of CDs is pashta, some kind of a malacha. According to Shlomo Zalman, maybe a shayla bona. But maybe with other reasons, we'll talk about Tzarech HaYom and things like that. So again, so the starting point of the issue is we had to just identify which malachas are potentially involved in the taking of pictures in the first place. So malachas kosev may be involved in the taking of the picture itself, according to Rashi for sure not. Malachas kosev more probably is involved in the developing of the picture rather than the taking of the picture. When it comes to the making of the CDs and the tapes, there may be another issue involved, which would be the issue of bona. So assuming that we have some kind of a malach involved.
We also talked about expertise in making it.
Okay, that's what we get to. So, assuming there's some kind of malach involved. What?
Like coloring?
it's different than surveyor. It's like drawing a picture. Rabbi Meir said drawing a picture is considered to be melachas kosev. You're making an image. Surveyor is usually when you just take a dye and you make something which used to be white, now you make it into red. Just taking a blank, you know, white and turning it into a color, that's usually surveyor. When you make an image of something, that's closer to kosev. So let's assume for now there's some kind of melach involved in these things. Question is, are there any hateim? Are there any tzadim l'hakam? So comes Rav Moshe, and he's quoted, it's quoted in the back of the Sefer Chos Cholamoid, and the 12th of the Rambam comes, we haven't printed it out, but comes Rav Moshe, and he says he thinks that taking the pictures primarily should be mutter, notwithstanding the different melachas that are potentially involved, for the following reason. So says Rav Moshe, l'chora, it's a ma'aseh hedyot, because every time they get Harry knows how to take pictures. In the old days, once they complicated to take a picture, you just stand there, you click a button. So comes the question, he thinks it should be a Maisa Hedyot. But wait, not so simple. Maisa Hedyot itself, we already learned Kolomoyen long enough, we know that Maisa Hedyot itself is not a master. You require Maisa Hedyot Litzorech HaMoed. If you have a combination of these two factors, Maisa Hedyot Litzorech HaMoed, then it becomes Mutter even Lechet Chila. So the question is, what exactly is the Litzorech HaMoed over here? Of taking pictures. The family's going to the zoo, so they want to take pictures. So, my high, what's the gevaldik of Tzarech HaMoed involved? So Rav Moshe appears to be the Shitasa, it's something that we spoke about previously. If you remember, there was a machlokes Rav Moshe and others about stop enjoyment. A person just stop wants to enhance the Chalamoid a little bit. He doesn't need it for food, doesn't need the clothing. So you give him a put a smile on his face, on his kid's face, so a little take a picture for the smile if he wants to add to his enjoyment of Yom Tov. Is that considered to be the Tzarech HaMoed or not? So remember, we originally spoke about this Rav Moshe by the fishing, I don't know, it's by a year ago already, we spoke about going fishing on Chol HaMoed. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says that you're allowed to go fishing on Chol HaMoed, provided that you need the fish for Chol HaMoed. So then it's Mamash Echol Nefesh, Echol Nefesh, everything is mutter, even by a woman is mutter for Echol Nefesh. What's the thing if you don't want the fish? So for the simple reading of the Gemara is that you're not allowed to go fishing. If you don't need the fish for Chol HaMoed, you want to catch the fish for after Yom Tov, that's a problem. So comes Rav Moshe and says, Mamed Devam Amurim, that the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch say you're not allowed to go fishing on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, if you don't need the fish. That's for a fisherman. He's not going to fish to enjoy fishing. He's going, that's his business, that's his job. He's going to collect fish. So if he's going to collect fish for Chol HaMoed, so he needs it for Chol HaMoed, so that's going to be mutter. But he's going fishing and he wants to now freeze the fish, store the fish after Yom Tov. So that's doing a malach. Malach is tzeidah. Shalom l'tzarech HaMoed. So even though it's a nice hedgehog, maybe going fish, maybe everyone knows how to fish, maybe this guy knows how to fish better than most people. So that would still be problematic. But, says Rav Moshe, you're talking about a father and a son going on a fishing trip together. Why? Not because they want the fish. That's not the real reason why. It's the very act of bonding. The act of fishing is an enjoyable. I remember when a couple of summers ago in Marsha, so my boys had, he's got fishing for them, so once a week they would sit on the dock for an hour. I never saw my kids sit in one place for so long. Maybe I should get some fish in my own living room. They would sit there. I remember it used to be one of them, I forgot already, one of them used to have fishing on Sunday morning, like 9 o'clock, that was fishing time. So every once in a while we would come back for Shabbos. So I knew we had to be back. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get backed up, to drive up for 3 hours back to Lake Como. Because the Chas HaShol, one of the boys would miss 2 minutes of fishing. I would never hear the end of it for the whole week. So fishing is a very enjoyable experience. So comes the question and says, I'm going fishing now for the fishing. Why fishing? Enjoy me the fishing. So that's mutter. So therefore, it's ma'aseh hedyot l'tzarech HaMoed, and it's mutter. If you remember, we extrapolated from Ramesha to the apple picking. This was a very hot topic in our shul, this past Chol HaMoed Sukkos. They organized a trip to apple picking. So the Shaila was, you're allowed to go apple picking on Chol HaMoed. So he said, depends. So if you're going apple picking because you want to make apple pies and you want to make apple sauce and you want to make apple kugels and everything, so that's fine. It's have to go with it. It's a Tzarech HaMoed. It's fine. But what if you want to collect hundreds of apples you're never going to plan on eating them b'Chol HaMoed? You're sticking and you use them for after Yom Tov. So the pashas and malach, but that's the problem. Picking apples is a malach of kotzer, even though it's a malach of hedyot. Any time to get out and pick an apple, but it's still a malach of kotzer. And it should be a ma'aseh hedyot, shalom l'tzarech HaMoed, would be problematic. So I thought that according to Rav Moshe, it's put there also. Why are you going to apple picking for? Because it's fun. Well, the kids like apple picking. They're going to get the Torah's fun, the Torah's enjoyment. Not so much that they want to eat 500 apples. The kids don't even like eating apples. But they want to do it, the Torah's the fun of going picking apples. So according to Rav Moshe, I thought that was mutter also. So not everyone agrees to Rav Moshe, but I thought according to Rav Moshe, that should be okay.
Comes out a guy could say, I enjoy taking pictures of job sites.
Halev yodeh, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether the person is honest or not. If the person is honest and he really enjoys this kind of activity, then according to Ramesh it should be mutter.
Didn't Ruva Shur,
like, call mice, if you need only 10 apples? Yeah, that's a Ruva Shur method. That would be also, because it's the different mice. Ruva Shur is only, let's say, if I have a pot of soup, I only need one bowl of soup. So I'm allowed to cook for a whole pot, even in Yontif, like a cook, right. Cook for a whole pot of soup. Whereas, but over here, no, because Ruva Shur only applies if it's one action. Let's say in Yontif, I want to cook up, I only need one bowl, so I'm going to cook 3 pots of soup. That's a problem.
No, so I'll tell you where the Machshava is. Person picks 10 apples. Oh, they say, you know what, these 10 apples are not so good. Now, the next 10 apples will be better, my pie is going to be better. So
that would be good. Okay, so that's the whole thing about Harava, about how much you're allowed to be ma'arim, amlechas chalamoy. So if that's really what happens, he picks 5 apples and he sees these are not so good, afterwards he goes to pick more, that's the shomotah. But you're allowed to do that, lechas chiva. I'm going to collect 5 apples, oh, I like these apples, I need more apples, that's a shayla.
You can't mix the Haram Shel, Rishurim,
Haram Shel. Right, that's the question. Right, how far Haram goes with Cholmai. So again, so according to Moshe,
you disregard the Malacha as long as
enjoyment. It depends who we are. Moshe is making a lot of other people disagree with Moshe. So those who rely on Moshe rely on Moshe, but there are others who disagree. So Lechora Bedas, those who disagreed, I think it was Deborah Tzidera, if I'm not mistaken, was the Bapuk to Ramosha, and there's others who disagreed with Ramosha. So then, Hadukush Laduchta, so a guy wants to take a picture on Chol HaMoed. So again, we're not sure that taking of the picture itself is also in the first place. It's still a snake faker. So it could be that taking of the picture may not be a malacha altogether. But let's say the Polaroids or whatever, other things that will involve a malacha. So Ramosha was mantered outright because the Maisa Hedyo, Lutzorach HaMoed. So here, there are others who disagreed with Rav Moshe, but it could be that it may be also even the Svaras Rav Moshe for the following reason. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted in the Sefer of Chol HaMoed as saying that who said that taking a picture is a Maisa Hedyot? What do you mean? Yaakov's in Muncie, they don't know how to take pictures. So Yaakov says, no, we misunderstood what Maisa Hedyot and Maisa Uman means. We usually think Maisa Hedyot means, I always give the example, anything that Tom, Dick, and Harry can do. That's called Maisa Hedyot. Maisa Uman means you got to go hire a guy, you got to go find a guy who's got expertise in doing it. That's called the Maisa Uman. That's what we usually define Maisa Hedyot. That's what Ramesh probably defined it. Yaakov says, no. Yaakov said, Maisa Hedyot means something that comes out sloppy. Something that you look at it, you see that this is an amateur kind of a job. This is something that like we gave the example, the Mishnah says, the guy who's sewing, the guy doesn't know how to stitch it. If I was trying to sew a button on, believe me, it would be a Maisa Hedyot. I probably wouldn't even connect to the thing. But that would be a Ma'elcha Maisa Hedyot go to Mishnah. So says Rabbi Yaakov, a Maisa Hedyot is, when you look at it, you see, this is a sloppy job. A Maisa Uman is, when you look at it, you see, this is a nice looking job. If you have a situation where everybody could do that nice looking job, that's still called the Maisa Uman, says Rabbi Yaakov. So therefore Rabbi Yaakov said, take pictures. It's true that any 3-year-old knows how to press the button, but sometimes you can hold the picture of the camera like this, sometimes they take a picture of their nose, okay, whatever it is, but if Lamaisa, if a normal adult is holding a camera in a half-decent way, the picture's going to come out very nice. It's going to come out beautiful, it's going to be Acha Maisa Uman. Okay, it's true, it's not a professional photographer, that's true, but him goes there, it's going to come out pretty nice looking. Says Rabbi Yaakov, he's chayshish that taking pictures for a regular person today is considered to be a chashash of a Maisa Uman. If it's a Maisa Uman, then we're mamash up the creek. A Maisa Uman, there are no grounds to be ma'afir. A Maisa Uman, even with Surah HaMoed, even if you make it like Rav Moshe Surah HaMoed, it's still going to be problematic. So Rav Moshe, in order to be making and taking the pictures, had to come up with 2 chidushim. He had to be mechadish, that's called the Maisa Hedyot, that's not such a mechadish, that's the pashas the Maisa Hedyot. And he had also a mechadish, that's called the Surah HaYom. Again, this is all assuming that there's any malacha b'chlam involved. If there's no malacha involved, there's no malacha, there's no malacha. But assuming that there is some kind of a chashash of kosev in the taking of the pictures, Rav Moshe was still matter it based on Maisa Hedyot or Tzorcha Moed, and Rav Yaakov Asad is based on the fact that it's called a Maisa Uman. But there is another Tzav Hakol that perhaps one can be made to take pictures on Chol HaMoed based on Dover Oved. What's the Dover Oved? It depends what the scene is, what the shot is. So it depends. You take your kids to the zoo, and you have this unbelievable picture of your child just finally, after 10 trips to the zoo, they're finally, overcome, they have enough courage to feed the goat or something. So it's a gewaldige picture. You're feeding goats, you're feeding the sheep on Chol HaMoed. If it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, be careful not to buy the animal feed. It's Chometz Gomer. So, but side is out. Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So the person's feeding the sheep on the Chol HaMoed Sukkos with this animal feed. It's a gewaldige shot, a once in a lifetime shot. So come the postman and says, it's a lost opportunity. So it's never going to come again. Or let's say, Lamosha, you have a family bar mitzvah or something, and your uncles and aunts from Australia came in, you haven't seen them for another 10 years, you finally get the whole family together. So get the whole family together. When are you going to get such an opportunity again? So we just say, we made a bat mitzvah for my daughter this past Sunday. So it was an unbelievable chiddush to get the family together. So how often do you get a family together? I said, I don't even know, begin to look forward to her wedding. I said, it took us an hour and a half just to take bat mitzvah pictures. So I don't even want to begin to think about the chasana pictures. And that was only one size. So anyway. So those are you have to seize the moment, opportunity. It's opportunity lost. If you don't take it, then when are you going to get everyone together again? So come to postman and say, with all seriousness, Hashem, Dover Ovid. So if it's a Dover Ovid, forget it. If it's a Dover Ovid, it's mutter even according to Yaakov, because a Dover Ovid is mutter even my Umar is mutter b'machom Dover Ovid. So we have a few stodim l'kan here. On the one hand, we're not sure that taking the pictures of Malach in the first place. And even if it's a malacha, maybe it's mutter based on Maisa Hedyos, but we're not so sure that it's a Maisa Hedyos. Maybe it's called a Maisa Uman. And but even if it's called a Maisa Uman, sometimes it's mutter based on Davar Ovid. So we have a few different things that are flying around, different considerations. And technically, who would have thought taking a picture of Chavos Shalom the Shashayla? So next week we'll have to finish up in terms of the factors involved in taking the pictures. Then the factors involved a little bit more than developing the pictures. Are there any study mechalal to develop pictures on Chalamayim? And then we have to take this down to the modern day application in terms of digital cameras. How does any of this play out in terms of
computers?
How does any of this play out in terms of these kinds of shadows and stuff? We'll mention next week. We'll finish this up again.